For our message this morning, I'm just going to use part of the resurrection story, but I thought it was important for us that we hear and receive it all. Truly, it is a very powerful word. And in that spirit, again, that we might just receive it as good news, I'm going to ask this morning if we might stand for the gospel lesson. Let us stand together. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. And the cloth had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying. One of them at the head and the other at the feet. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Faith in resurrection. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. It was a family circus cartoon a number of years ago now, where a family was pictured leaving the church. They shook the pastor's hand and they were walking down the sidewalk. The husband said to his wife, I thought resurrection only happened once, but the pastor must have resurrected that sermon three times. I wondered this morning what new word I might have to say about Easter, only to realize all over again that it is an old story that needs to be told not only today, but it is the story for every day. Before it became known as Easter, it was called the Lord's Day of Resurrection. And so this day, this story invites us to know that resurrection is real. We must search and seek for ourselves, because a part of this story is asking, have we had our own resurrection? Have we had our own resurrection? We do not have to stand on the outside. Hear me when I say that the Easter story does not rest on that the stone was rolled away or that the tomb was empty. It is true that someone could have rolled the stone away and that the body had been stolen. In this time, there were people who robbed tombs. It would not also be beyond suspicion that the enemies of Jesus had come and taken the body away to cause further harm and damage out of their hate for Jesus. And so what is needed on that first Easter morning was faith. And what is needed some 2,000 years later is faith. We cannot and should not sit on the fence. I know that popular word for today, I know I fall into that trap of using it, that popular word where you can't make up your mind and somebody might be asking you, what do you think? And we just say, well, whatever. It should not be that way with the resurrection story. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17 said, if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. And so we are talking about what is true and what is false. We can, and it should be our desire, that we are eager and we are anxious. And so what is needed is faith. On that first Easter Sunday, the news that the tomb was empty was greeted as a false report. No one was expecting resurrection. It was thought that Mary had gone to the tomb, perhaps wanting to anoint the body of Christ, because there was not the opportunity to do this before Christ was laid in the tomb. Mary got up early that morning, not knowing how she would roll the stone away, but her love for Jesus would not allow her to stay away any longer. She did not expect to find the tomb empty. No one was expecting resurrection. No one was expecting resurrection then. And yet Christ is alive. We may not be expecting resurrection now. And yet Christ is alive. Can we claim it? Can we claim the presence of Christ? I believe that the presence of Christ is felt in the sanctuary. As we gather for worship, as we gather around the table for communion, as we sing the great hymns of the church. But our faith cannot be limited to Sunday. But in our home, as we are trying to pay those bills, trying to raise our children, trying to figure out how can we afford health care, the presence of Christ, the presence of Christ, it needs to be with us in those moments. The presence of Christ needs to be felt on our jobs. When that coworker just doesn't seem to care for anyone else but themselves. All of this is possible because the presence of Christ is to be within us. Mary is talking to Christ and does not realize it. One commentary suggested that her love for Christ was so strong that she was blinded by her grief and fear. She was standing not only on the outside of the tomb, but she was standing outside of faith. Do you get that difference? Not only standing on the outside of the tomb, but she was standing on the outside of faith. It was not until Christ called her by name. Mary had not found Christ, but Christ finds Mary and calls her by name. There is a lesson here about faith, and that is we have to let go. Mary was standing at the tomb, and how moving it is that she is there and she is filled with grief. But to really hear and to accept Christ, she needed to let go of all these things and listen. Listen and hear Jesus calling her by name and then respond in faith. Christ would say, Mary. And Mary would respond, Master. Christ would say, Mary, and Mary would respond saying, Master, this can be our conversation. This can be our conversation. And in this conversation, our searching and our seeking in this life can be widened. Widened to the place where we have no fear. Karl Barth said that the Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin, the curse, and death are beaten. Ultimately, they can no longer start mischief. They still behave as the game was not decided. The battle not fought. We must still reckon with them. But fundamentally, We must cease to fear. We must cease to fear them anymore. Another writer put it this way and said, Easter means anything. If Easter means anything to modern men and women, it means that truth is eternal. You may nail it to a tree, wrap it in grave clothes, seal it in a tomb, but truth crushed to earth will rise again. It has been silenced temporarily. It has been compelled to carry its cross, to carry its cross on Calvary's brow, or to drink of the cup of poison hemlock in the Grecian jail. But with certainty, after every Black Friday, dawns the truth of Easter morn. That story that I've always found too, that illustrates what a resurrected life is like, was the story of that man who lost his wife suddenly, and all of his neighbors concerned about him, but they didn't quite know just what to say to him. It was a small child in the neighborhood who went over to the man's house. She climbed up into his lap and seemed to bring comfort to the man. The other neighbors came and asked her, "What did you say? What did you say? What did you say to him that you seemed to just bring him comfort?" She said, "I didn't say anything. I just crawled up in his lap and cried with him." You put these thoughts together, and then you hear Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Be steadfast, unmovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Faith in the resurrection. One final thought, and that somehow it is resurrection in which life begins to make sense. I came across this story, and I have copies for you if you would like it. It is a story of a man who wanted his young children, his young men, to understand what life was really all about. And so, and a part of that was he wanted them to be able not to judge things so quickly. And so he sent them all on a quest. And that was to go and to look at a pear tree. A pear tree that was a great distance away. One of the young men went in the winter. Another went in the spring. Another went in the summer. And the last son went in the fall. When they had all come back, the story said, he called them together to describe just what it was they had seen. The first son said that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. The second son said, no, no, it was covered with green buds and full of promise. The third son disagreed. He said it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing that I have ever seen. The last son disagreed with them all. He said it was ripe. It was just drooping with fruit. It was so full of life and fulfillment. The father then explained to his sons that they were all right, because they had seen only one season in the tree's life. He told them, you cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season. That the essence of who they are and the pleasure and the joy and love that comes from life can only be measured at the end, when all the seasons are up. If you give up when it's winter, hear me now. If you give up when it's winter, you will miss the promise of spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall. We can't let anything. We can't let anything take away from us what might be the seasons of our life. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, I know that there are difficult times for all of us. Difficult seasons for all of us. But it is the promise of resurrection that cries out. Christ is alive. Alive in the winter. Alive in the spring. Alive in the summer. Yes, alive in the fall. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Now faith in resurrection. Amen.